This is a labor of love for you. So I pray that the Lord will truly, bless our time together. And I too am in that category. Today was actually our team building exercises, and I walked to I we had to walk through all this stuff, and to rest after I walked, because I realized that I was older than everybody in that group, and I told them I've earned my stripes, and that if they wanted to prove themselves, they can go ahead. But after about almost 6,000 steps, I was ready to just rest. So I do very much appreciate the fact that this is the end of the day for all of you, but you are determined to be together as brethren, as we are, to learn from the Lord. But I want to refresh us by sharing a song. And I think I have sharing privileges. Yes, I can share. Okay. So I want you to quietly just listen to this and sing along.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned.
Again, I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
In your presence, Lord.
And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner.
Can you all hear? Brother Kunle, can you hear?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we
Thank
can.
you. Okay. Thank the Lord. Thank God for His great love for us. It is hard to truly fathom the love that the Lord has for us. And while we may not understand many things, It's very likely that we would not be able to explain many doctrines, but there is no problem, I hope, for any of us to be able to express the love that the Father has for you, for us, for you, for me. In when the Apostle John was writing to the brethren, he said, "Behold how." Actually, let's go there. Sister Ronke, good evening. I would like you to read for us, if you are able to. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Sister Ronke, if you can read for us, it's been a while. I'm glad to see you, at least just see your name. So I hope you've been doing well. Is Sister Ronke able to read? Okay. Can hear? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay. If you could read First John, there's an echo coming from you. So either you are on
Sorry,
the
please,
speakerphone. Okay.
I'm about to
Take your time. Take your time.
one to the other.
Take your time.
Okay,
First
please.
John chapter 3. And I would like you to read the first three verses. And I'm actually also going to share my screen because it's easier that way. Then I don't have to be looking at a book and also looking at. So my screen has 1 John chapter 3. For those of you who it might be easier for you to just, use your screen. So the first three verses, Sister Ronke, okay, thank you.
See what kind of love. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure.
Thank you. So, our brother John, in all his writings, is very direct. He said, "Behold," that's the other, "see, can you look?" It's an amazement. What kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. What a privilege. And so we are. Excuse me. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children. That's true. We are God's children. And what we will be has not yet appeared. We talked yesterday about the resurrection of the dead, about the transformation. Let me stop sharing my screen. There's no way for us to picture it. I can't picture it. I mean, I think of it, people have done in Hollywood, my name, but I've never seen it before. I don't know what it actually means to be transformed. We do have examples, and we will read that. We do have a few hints, but the physical eye cannot withstand it. So he says, he shares something with us. He said, it is not, we don't. We don't know exactly what we will be like, but what we do know is that when he comes, we're going to be like him. And I can just end today on this just by reading that. But what we know, when he appears, we will be like him because we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope purifies or set themselves up, and as he is pure. The best way to understand this is to go to chapter 17 of John's Gospel. To be pure, to be set apart, to be removed from every contamination or for common use, just as the Lord Himself set Himself apart for the glory of the Father. That's what we should. So when we think that we're going to be like Him, when He comes, we will be like Him. What we do is to be exactly as He is. Brother Wally, could you take us to John chapter 17 and read? If we had time, if this was a 2 hour thing, we would read the whole of John chapter 17, but we cannot because today there's just not enough time. What I would like you to read is just read the first, just the first three verses, and then we will skip, to actually read the first five verses. Let's just first read the first five verses. John chapter 17 from verse 1.
John 17, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, and this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
And then go to chapter verse 17 and read to verse 19.
Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth.
And then go to verses 23. 24, 25, and 26.
I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved them. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name. And we declare it that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them.
If you take time to go through this prayer, and we know that when the Lord prays to his Father will answer him. So we can take this to the bank. He said, Father, I want you to, because of them, I set myself apart. So sanctify them with your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify with your truth. Your word is truth. So when the Apostle John is saying, anyone that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. He probably will maybe remembering this wonderful truth. And then the Lord says something that really deeply moves me. Say, Father, I desire, in verse 24, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. To see my prestige, my weightiness that you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. I desire that these ones you've given me, I want them to see me in my full splendor. I want to, the world in which we live has a lot of glitter. And most of us are tempted. The cure is a glimpse of the glory of Christ. I can tell you, take your eyes off gold, take your eyes off diamond, and I can't say that or this or that or that, but I know that if we experience a tiny, just a piece of the glory of Christ, it will purge us. And it is not self-will and this and that and that. No, I personally have no respect for gold. You give it to Brother Lodger. They wear my wedding band. After that, any other thing you are telling me, whether it's 10 carat, I don't know if there's 100 carat or 125 carat, it means absolutely nothing to me. It means a lot to other people. You have to see 50 Cent and it does mean a lot to other people. It does not mean anything to me. But there is a glory that we see. And I want to stay here a little bit. Because the dullness of our world is very dull because of unrighteousness, because of wickedness. But then we behold the glory of Him who is beloved of the Father, and we are cured of these miniature treasures. Say, Father, I desire that they will be with me wherever where I am. I want them to be there. And then the glory I had before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these they have known that you sent me. That's what the Lord said. In the wilderness, it occurred to Moses, because as Moses saw the wonderful displays of God taking on Pharaoh and making him a laughing stock through the plagues and then through the Red Sea, and then bringing them to the mountain, he realized that this God of my father is too weighty, is too heavy. And he did a prayer. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Glory is not something we sing. When you say, give glory to God, glory. No, that's not what we mean. Glory is weightiness, the realization of the intrinsic eternal perfections of God that makes you fall on your knees. There is no word. Anytime you go read in the book of Revelation, when God's glory is revealed, the first thing that everybody falls down. And that's called worship. Worship always involves a postural change. That's the root word. It is to prostrate. And nobody needs to tell you. Nobody needs to tell anyone. The reason I'm starting here is because we ask, how is Jesus going to come? How will he come? I'm not going to talk today about the rapture, all of that. The great tribulation. That's not where I'm going. How is he going to come? We can answer that question very quickly. My first experience with glory was in 1970. I was in primary two. Our school then in Irua, which is in Edo State, we were told that Gowon, Major General Gowon, who was then the head of state, the Civil War had just ended, that he was going to pass through Auchi, if you are familiar with our side. I think Sister Shade probably knows, having, Brother Kunle, do you know Bender, Edo State very well?
Not very well, but I used to go there.
So you're coming from that Auchi, was going to come all the way to Benin City to see Ogbemudia, who was the governor then. So we were told that everybody, every school, we need to wash our clothes, need to iron them, and we are going to line the streets for Gawan to pass through. Oh, yeah, I've never seen anything like that. The teachers were running helter-skelter. We ironed our clothes. I still remember that day because I almost cursed out Gawan. It rained. Oh, my God. The clothes I ironed, it's waiting up for God's grace. I would have cursed him. It rained. We waited. We waited. We waited. Where is this man? We started to know he was coming because of what they used to call Bagbati. Does any of you know what Bagbati were? These expert motorcycle riders. that will ride on one side, they will turn their head upside down, they will ride backwards. Once those ones started coming, we knew Gawain was on his way. And then came the convoy. And the thing that disappointed me the most, he sped past. I did not even get a chance to see him. I said, God forgive him, man. That's all I'm going to say. But that was the day I understood the meaning of glory in my childhood heart. The importance of this person caused the whole school, teachers who did not know him, all of them were, they got us all prepped. The clothes that I ironed, God, one would not know one thing from the other. If I had not had my bath that day, he would not know. But just because of who he was, we were in a good mood. It rained, we waited. So let's talk about how in the past did God appear? When God showed up, and God is everywhere, we know that. How did he appear? Let me go take us first to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Sister Buki, are you able to read?
Yes, Brother Roger.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse 14. So we're going to look at a few places where God, the Lord, showed up in his glory and see the way the glory is described. It is not in choruses and songs. We'll read from verse 14 all the way to verse 19.
Are you sharing your screen or should?
You can read anyone, but I will also share my
Okay.
screen. I will be happy to share my screen. Yes.
Exodus 19.
Yeah.
From what, verse 14?
Yeah, you should start from verse 14 and read all the way to verse 19.
Then Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. He said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not approach your wives for marital relations." On the third day in the morning, there was thunder and lightning in a dense cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a very loud horn. All the people were in the camp. All the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they took their place at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was completely covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire, and its smoke went up like the smoke of a great furnace, and the whole mountain shook violently. When the sound of the horn grew louder and louder, Moses was speaking, and God was answering him with a voice.
So this was the Lord. And this is the day of Pentecost. You know, this is 50 days after Passover. This is your read. This is that, that. So the Lord came to talk to his people. But first, he wanted them to know who God is. This is not Pharaoh. This is the God of gods. And on that third day, there was thunder and lightning and a dense cloud on the mountain and the sound of a very loud horn. I'm glad they did not use the word trumpet, because it actually is a shofar, or the ram's horn. All the people were in the camp, who were in the camp, they trembled. That's worship. They tremble. That's the reverence for God. That's reverence for God. And that is the kind of reverence that is the foundation of wisdom. God brought the people out. Mount Sinai was completely covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. And the smoke went like the smoke of a great furnace. And the whole mountain shook violently. I am not surprised that the people said to Moses, please, you know, Moses, bros, look, Let God talk to you. You are used to you. You let God talk to you, then come and talk to us. My brothers and sisters, it's so when we this is one time that the Lord appeared. Brother Sunday Jagadera, read for us Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. So now when you read Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, you will now have a better understanding, because it was on this same day when God came to give them those 10 words that we call the 10 commandments that the Spirit of God descended. So Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, please, Brother Sunday Jagade, could you read the first four verses for us?
Acts
Acts
chapter
of the
2.
Apostles chapter 2, yes, first four verses.
I'm reading from New Living Translation. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
Thank you. If you take time, just take some time, this, for the people who were there, they will have remembered the story they read about of God appearing in Sinai. Except that this is not a physical mountain. This was God now coming to rest on on his people. But it came like the sound of a violent wind blowing came from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting. It happened again in chapter 4. In chapter 4, it happened again. While they prayed, the house shook. So you have to understand all of that. So when the Lord started to talk about his return, he was talking to a people who had this understanding.
Okay.
Go to Matthew chapter 16. Somebody have a question? Please go on. I'm hearing noise. I don't know if somebody wants to. People want to ask questions. Please feel free. And this is the bookie, Sister Kemi. If you're monitoring the chat, if there's a question, stop me so we can just quickly, get into it. So something happens. And I want to take us to it. How is the Lord going to come? The Lord is going to come the same way that God has always appeared. He's going to appear when the Lord returns. He is going to come as we are going to read here. And that will quickly puncture the doctrine that was smuggled into our faith in the late 19th century through the use of Scofield Bible and all of the stuff that corrupted the Christian doctrine. There are some people who believe that Jesus will first come and secretly take away believers and then come again. There is no such thing in the Bible. I've checked, it's not in my Bible. The Lord is coming once, it's come already. His next return, don't be fooled by like a thief in the night. That is a way to describe the fact that people will not be ready. He's not sneaking in. Before we read that passage, let me just quickly talk about how the Bible is written. The Bible wasn't written in our modern languages. The Bible is written in ancient languages, including Greek. Greek is not that modern. In fact, most of the people in Jesus' time spoke Aramaic because they could no longer speak Hebrew after the exile. Those are very difficult languages to understand in our modern times. So when they use metaphors or figures of speech, you have to understand them that way. Most of us who are from back home, we are familiar with the terms, proverbs, riddles, dark saying. In Igbo land, from what Achebe told us, he said proverbs is the oil with which words are eaten. So our people don't talk, they come in a parabolic manner. It's not different from the Hebrews. When an Iboma tells you that when a handshake goes beyond an elbow, it's no longer a handshake, somebody from the West will be saying, what are you talking about? But you and I, we understand. Right? We understand. Or somebody says, a child that says his mother will not sleep, that child is not also going to sleep. I mean, you, if some people here may not understand it, brother. Well, is that not true? I mean, when our parents talk to us like that, you know that they have moved from one gear to another. And a child that is wise does not need to be told to leave a room that is filled with smoke. When your parents are about to move to another gear, you will know. In the Bible, actually, the book of Proverbs says that the reason it's written is so that you might understand dark sayings, riddles, and words of wisdom. So the Bible we usually read, you may hear, read the words, but they are not that easy to quickly understand. So when we hear a thief, like a thief in the night, it's a common saying. It's a saying that it is not that the, it's, you get the impression. Or if you did not know the word, of, if you do not know how people spoke in those times when they said it is more, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It is not the needle of the eye of that a camel is passing through. In Jerusalem at that time, there was a gate that is regarded as the eye of the needle that the camel will have to hunch down and all of those taken away. What am I trying to arrive at? The base Bible that we read is not that easy. Familiar's generation will read it, and it may sound like, gibberish sometimes, especially if you force them to read the King James Bible. Because already, Shakespeare is causing headache. I mean, some people have to take Tylenol just reading, because it's their language. It's not, anyway, let's stop there. So I want you to realize that when we read some of these things, you have to know the biblical background to them to get the picture. Okay, so Brother Bumi, read for us. Jesus predicts his death and suffering, and then he talks about how he's going to come. Read from Matthew chapter 16, starting from verse 21. And then we first end at verse 28. Then we're going to read a little bit more of chapter 17. This is the Lord about talking about how he is going to come. All right.
So
Matthew
said,
chapter 16, Matthew from 16. Verse 21, 21 to 28.
Okay. Matthew 16, from 21 to 28.
Yeah.
From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and experts in the law, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, this must not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me because you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what does it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his life? Or what can a person give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, there are some standing here who will not experience death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Right. Thank you. The Lord is, I discover that scattered all through the Gospels, the Lord tells them how he's going to return. In what manner? What I mean in the same way that Major General Gawan was accomplished, I mean accompanied by a lot of pomp and display, the Lord says this, and the people who were listening to him would understand the context. In fact, this was the final statement that made them say he has spoken blasphemy. He talks about, for what will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? For the Son of Man will come with who? His angels in the glory of his Father. And he will reward each person according to what he has done. If indeed I'm telling you, there are some standing here who will have a foretaste of the kingdom of the Son of Man coming in his kingdom glory. So the Lord was saying to them, the Son of Man, and to understand the term the Son of Man, it doesn't mean his humanity. The Son of Man is a phrase from Daniel chapter 7. He says he will come in the glory of his Father, and he will be accompanied by angelic host. This is in all of the scriptures. Time will fail us. Remember Isaiah chapter 6, where the prophet gets to see the Lord's temple and his glory. And of course, you know what happened to him. And he the what he was what the word they were saying, the Lord of hosts, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of a mighty throng. That's the other translation. So the Son of God is going to return in that same fashion. Why is it important for us, brothers and sisters? I don't have any hero in life. I don't. You can't have Jesus and have another hero in life. It's impossible. Without, human beings, the more you read about them, the more you know that they have, and say, if anybody says Elijah is my hero, I'll beg him, please, you do need to cleanse yourself of that idea. But please, I beg you, do not. I could inspire you, yes, but please do. Please, I'm really going to beg you. You need to get out of that idea very quickly. But the Lord Jesus is our champion. And it is good for a believer to know that this Lord Jesus, for whom we are being persecuted, whose name is mostly some people use him to curse, but there is a time coming when the whole world will see that there is none like him. The display that will make kings run to the mountains and say, fall upon us, because that's part of it. That day, it won't be easy. For the righteous, it will be well, but for the unrighteous, it's a day they have never seen before and will never see again. And the Lord will come in his glory. Let's go further. When the Lord Jesus was talking and, talking about his return, in chapter 24 of that same Matthew, and we'll read it in chapter 13, he says this, and I want to, I'm going to go into it. He says this. He says, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter. We're quickly going to run through because it's already 7:44 now. In Matthew chapter 24, towards the end, this is what Jesus says. He was talking about, what will happen just before he comes. In verse 29 of Matthew chapter 24, let me keep sharing my screen so that those of, it might make it a lot faster. This is what he says. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven what? the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and what? Great glory. Great weightiness. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. There's only one time coming. That's what we call the rapture, that the last trumpet. And they will gather his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Let's read it again. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud shofar call, or a horn call, like happened on Mount Sinai. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Mr. Femiyo, Bejide, could you go? Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Go read for me Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1.
Jesus Christ, we shall.
Yeah, you're going to read what I want you to read. So go, come to Revelation chapter 1, and I want you to read from verse 4. Read all the way to verse
Jesus
8.
To the seven churches that are in Asia, peace to you and peace from him who is and who is, and who are, who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits where spirits who are before his throne.
Can you see it? Oh, are you reading from my screen or reading yours? You can read it. You read anyone. You don't have to read my screen. Go on. Read all the way to verse 8. We've lost his voice. Brother Bumi, take over from there.
Okay. That wasn't familiar. That was Brother Cho.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. It doesn't matter. Okay.
Familiar right there.
No, Brother Bumi, go on.
Okay.
From verse 4 to 8.
Verse 4. From John to the seven churches that are in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from he who is and who was and who is still to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to the one who is love, to the one who loves us and has set us free. Free from our sins at the cost of his own blood, and has appointed us as a kingdom, as priests serving his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is returning with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes on the earth will mourn because of him. This will certainly come to pass. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, and the one who is and who was and who is still to come, the All-Powerful.
That's our Lord. He is coming with the clouds. When he's in, when he's clouds, but then somebody coming with the clouds, it's a metaphor for, you don't know if you, those of us who fly, you suddenly see that this world is more than us. Sometimes I wonder, why does God bother with humanity? Because you only go 10,000, you know, 10,000 feet, and everybody, you know, that big mansion of Brother Bumi will look like a small, you know, tent and all. And that White House will, when you start going up, and it will look like one tiny thing. I say, why does God bother with humanity? And this is what Christ has brought us into. He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. So you see, the all of those say the there is not a secret return of the Lord. There is not a secret return. The Lord is coming. All eyes will see him, even those who pierced him. Because of it, I want to end so I can allow for questions. In chapter, so In chapter 25 of Matthew, Jesus says this in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. So there are many things. One, he will send his angels to gather his elect. All eyes will see him. He will sit on his throne. On his glorious throne. A vision that is given to us in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Then in Daniel, we are told in verse 13, in my vision in the night, I continued to watch, and I saw one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Hear this. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. It's all through the scriptures. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father. The holy ones. Our Lord is going to return in glory. If we had time, we would talk about actually where the Lord is going to come from. You can read that on your own. This time, when you are reading the Old Testament, reading passages like Exodus 15, pay attention because the steps are described. When you read Psalm 18 of how God came to the help of his Holy One, you will begin to see things. He shook the cloud. He did this. He did that. He did that. It's in Habakkuk. It's in Zechariah. So that is why the people who were listening to Jesus. They understood what he was, they understood what he was talking about because the prophet had told them. So the reason we read the New Testament, we don't seem to know the steps, is because the writers of the New Testament assume that you will read the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, that you will read what has been extensively talked about. What is the kingdom of God going to look like? Isaiah had so much to say about it. So does Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or whether you call them minor or major, it doesn't matter. Those prophets, Daniel, they had a lot to say. So when the Lord Jesus was with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he showed them from the scriptures the things that were written about him, that the Messiah was first going to suffer, be crucified, buried, rise from the dead, and come into his glory. I want to end by this. The Father has already made a proclamation that this Jesus, our Lord, that humbled himself even to the point of death, he has given him a name that supersedes all other names. And the name of this, our Lord Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every tongue will confess, will own up to the fact that he is the master, to the glory of God the Father. So I just want to make sure that when we believers talk about the Lord, you talk with pride, with conviction, because it's going to happen. This is not maybe, maybe not, this is certain. In fact, when you read some, what the explainer, the angelic being that explains both to Daniel and then later to John in Revelation, this thing is certain. It's been fixed and it will come to pass. Time again will fail us to go into many things, but these are just, brethren, to tease our minds, to remind us of the fact that our Lord, the one who suffered all that shame, who went through that painful death because of his love for us to reconcile us and everything to himself. He's coming back. But when he comes, he is not that lowly king. He's not the one going to be riding on a donkey that was borrowed. And it should make your head swell. You should beat your chest. You should say, well, that's my savior. You know, that's my older brother. I'll stop here. Quick question or a comment?
Sir. Hello, sir.
Yes, good evening, my brother. Yes, I can hear you, but come a little bit closer to your mic.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Good talk, sir. But I want you to explain the key spiritual lesson that Peter was trying to rebuke God that he will not die. What is the spiritual meaning that is it out of his love for him, or what is the spiritual lesson of Peter rebuking God that he will not die? Because he believe, because I my thinking is that he believes God is ever powerful, but what he is talking about is the power that God has given his son, and he's not looking at the salvation that Christ is looking towards by his death. What is the spiritual meaning of Peter rebuking God?
Well, you've almost answered it, but you are, so let's sympathize with Peter, because we read it, and because we know the answer, see, because we know what is going to happen, we find it ridiculous that Peter should say that. But at that time, let me tell you, most of them were looking for a Messiah that will come. See, they were reading these wonderful things about the king that will come and reign in on David's throne. And he was going to be a conquering one. That's how they read it. Peter was not different. So Peter, the significance is you know, when Jesus said, who are you? Who am I? Who do people say I am? They all said different things. Say, but who do you say that I am? Peter, relying on the revelation given to him by God, said the right thing. He should have just continued on that line. Because the next thing he said, you are Christ, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Well, yes, that's true. Then Jesus started to tell them, Just so you know, the Son of Man is going to go through a lot of that. And Peter said, no, that cannot happen to you. And that's why Jesus said, the things you are saying, Peter, they have nothing to do with the prosperity of the will of God, but it is how human beings think. And my brother, if there was time, we'll talk a little bit more about it. Did you notice that believers who did not have understanding of scriptures, did you know they were egging on the U.S. to fight Iran? Most of you may not be in those congregations, but you know that most of our evangelical brothers and sisters, they really thought that this war will lead to Gog and Magog. I don't know where the rest of you, but they wanted the U.S. to and Israel to fight Iran. That's their human understanding. Because they think when all this Armageddon comes, Jesus will return soon. Is it you and me that when they say hastening the return of the Lord, it didn't mean that we should start wars in order that Jesus has no choice now but to quickly come down? We better come and save Israel and save the church now. So, my brother, just to quickly answer your question, I know I've gone around in a parabolic manner, is that Peter will learn that it is possible to have a wonderful revelation from God, and you can in one quick minute be, you know, walking in your understanding. And that has troubled the church so much over the centuries. That's what has divided us. That is what has, you know, caused a lot of violence, even Christians persecuting Christians. Go and read about John Calvin. Go and read about Martin Luther. These men who saw God's glory, they did initiate some violent actions. Yes, Brother Adeyinka.
Yeah, three questions, sir. Thank you so much for the exposition. Very, very interesting. I like the way you paint these things in vivid pictures that we can relate with. Kudos. God bless you, sir. So in that question that he just asked, I remember Jesus Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. What's the implication of that? Secondly, another part of scripture that we read earlier, I think it was saying that some of these people that are standing here, maybe they will not taste death or something like that. Could you throw more light on that? One more. It says when Jesus Christ comes, those he will come in like mind, and those that crucified him, they will see him, right? Are they saying that literally or figuratively, or everybody will rise, including those people from those 2,000 years ago, and they will also see him? Thank you, sir.
I hope I can remember all the questions, but first, let me just quickly so the way we think about Satan, the Satan, that's not his, the Satan is a description, not his name. It means the adversary. The adversary can actually say something that sounds nice. Say to Eve, did God, say, no, God did. No, that is very likely that Peter had moved from that inspiration from God. So this, I will, and then started to think in his mind. And anytime we let our, human mind wander, not regulated with the scriptures, there will be a Satan or the enemy waiting for us to feed us ideas. Will feed us ideas. So that's one way I will answer that. But you said something when Jesus said there are some people who are st standing here, and if you can give us another 5 minutes, that would be wonderful, Brother Kunle, so we can deal with the question. And
Request approved.
is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, my brother, you did ask a question. Jesus said there are some of you standing here who will not die until they get a glimpse. That's why I said we will always have to learn to understand scriptures and read it in the way that the people who were there read it. So, later on, not too long after 6 days, Jesus took them. He took Peter, James, and John. He said there were some, not all of them, some of you who are standing here. So what did he do? He took them and he showed them a little bit of what we're talking about today, what is his glory. So they came to a place and suddenly his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. And then Elijah came and Moses came, the Torah and the prophet. And it says, Peter said, it is good that we should be here. In another translation, if you go to Luke, he said he didn't know what to say. He was confused. And while he was still speaking, God now said, oh, it's like to quit, to move it out of that conversation. Look at my son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down in terror. They realized this glory that Christ had before. And this glory that he will come in. So when Jesus said, you were asking my brother, when Jesus said to them, there are some of you who will see what the glory of the kingdom of God looks like before they actually die, before they taste death. And Peter did say this. Peter did reference this. If you have time, my brother, go and read 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, we beheld this glory. We saw it. And so, what we are telling you, we did not fake this. He says, so you should understand. And this is, of course, Peter, who had now experienced Pentecost. The last question that I think you asked, when Jesus returns, from the way we are told in the book of Revelation, when he says all eyes will see him, and that's a good question you asked, is it everybody who has ever lived? I don't know. But I certainly know that those who are alive at that time, they will see him. They will see him. Remember that there are two resurrections. The first resurrection is the one we are looking to, for, forward to. That is the resurrection that will allow us to reign with Christ. But there's another resurrection, and that one only happens after 1,000 years of Christ's reign He's saying, brother, my brother who asked the question, that only happens after Christ has reigned, and the devil will be given a chance, the nations will be given a chance to see if after experiencing 1,000 years of the reign of Christ, they will follow the Lord. The devil will still be able to gather a throng, and God will destroy them. And after that, there will be the final judgment. And then the people who had died will be raised. So I don't think, I doubt that everyone who's died before and the rest, they will see Christ when he comes, but certainly those who are alive, and then those of us who are alive will be raised after the people who have died. The people who have died are the ones who will experience the resurrection. If you and I are still alive, we will undergo a transformation. It's a lot of questions, but I'll be happy to talk with you offline. It's very it's easy to reach me. Any of the brothers here in Maryland can tell you. But I'll have to stop there. Does anybody have a comment to add to what I just said? Because this is for everyone, so don't leave me
Thank
hanging.
you.
So don't leave me hanging, and I say, "Oh, brother Lord, you're going outside." But those of you here, you are teachers, you are pastors. Let me pause for you to clarify what our brother just asked. There are many people on this, so it looks as if the dress code is to let me turn off my camera as well because I know it's so. Is this, Brother Bumi, is this what you told everybody, that they would not show their faces? In the morning, they will not show their face. In the afternoon, so some of you are returning from work, and I know you dress to the hills to go to work. Why can't we see you? Sister Wora, why can't we see you on, why can't we see you today on Sister Sandra and Sister Catherine, Sister Cody, why can't we see you? What is it? I'm putting on my camera now. Why can't we see you? Brother Bumi, what did you tell them?
I didn't tell anybody. Okay, they're turning it on now.
See, sister, so sister, what do you, what why did you, now we can see you, and everybody looks wonderful. Why were you hiding all of this? Why were we hiding your faces from us?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, because you heard Brother Elijah is coming. I don't see well, so no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. My eyes don't see very well, so everybody looks perfect to me. Don't even worry about it. All right. Okay. So, Brother Adeoye, could you close us in prayer, please?
Okay, sir. Gracious Father, we want to say thank you for this opportunity again. Thank you for sending your words to us, and thank you for showing us and assuring us that you are coming and it is sure. Thank you for giving us this assurance again and giving us the boldness to preach and to tell other people. Father, we are sincerely grateful. We commit our hearts to you, God, that you cause this word to prosper and to cause things to turn right, helping us to live boldly for you in full expectation of your return. Thank you, faithful Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Us
sir.
power by God's grace.
Thank
Okay.
you. Thank
Thank
you. Thank you.
Good
Don't
night.
come.
Let me put
Good
on my
night. Good night.
glasses. Yeah, everybody
Brother
looks perfect
Amigo,
to
sir.
me. Thank you. Yeah.